All right, welcome to the Free Stretch, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Free Combine Week edition of the show. Next week will be Combine Week, and we've got a lot to get to on this Friday edition. Thank you for bearing with me the extra day. Had a lot going on this week, but I kind of like the Friday show releases anyway, because it kind of starts setting the weekend up and everything like that. And of course, next week, like I said, will be the NFL Combine. We'll talk a little bit about that. We've got mock drafts flying everywhere, as they always are this time of year, which is fine. But I'll give you some of my thoughts on not even just the mock drafts themselves, but the way people react to them and things like that. Of course, we got some personnel things, some news coming down about the Bucs. Of course, they did sign one player since we last joined you on this show. That's running back Andre Ellington, who didn't play last year, but did play for Bruce Arians in Arizona for a few years before that. Bucs haven't cut anybody else since letting Vinnie Curry go. And, of course, we did get news that Gerald McCoy is going to be back, looking like he's going to be back, at least not official yet, but looking like he'll be back at his normal salary of $13 million, according to Rick Stroud. And so we've got a bunch of stuff going on. The Robert Kraft news just broke. I will mention a little bit about that today here on the show. Plenty of stuff going on. If you want to email me, go ahead and do that. Always love hearing from you guys. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. And on Twitter, it's @BobbyGameDay. The Free Stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry, Tampa's first family of four. They're proud to announce right now, and you can always get this, a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles that includes unlimited years, unlimited miles, a 10-year roadside assistance program, and one-year complimentary service. You just bring it in, they'll take care, check the oil, all that stuff. You can see the details at the website if you go to BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Or you can go down there in person and see Sean Sullivan, the new GM, good friend of mine, fellow Jesuit high grad, and you'll get the Joe Bucks Fan discount if you mention Joe Bucks Fan, mention Bobby Fenton, mention the Free Stretch, any of those things. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of Hillsboro. They're on the east side of the road. Or you can check out the website and see all of the transparent online pricing. It's all there. And by the way, you know, now that we're into February here, the 2018s are just getting blown out. So if you want to get basically a new car, okay, only get a phenomenal deal on it, go check out. You can go to, like I said, go to the website. You can see all the inventory there. You can go in person because now's a really good time to go down there and buy a 2018 if you want to. Of course, the 2019s are in as well. And I'm authorized to say, and I'm not going to go any further than what I'm authorized to say, okay, there is a very cool promotion coming up specifically for Bucks fans. In the next month, I will let you know when it's happening. Okay, that's just something on the horizon. Oh, and the Classic Car Show is tonight at 7 p.m. over there if you want to go check things out at Bill Curry Ford. So in the meantime, before I get to the Bucks stuff, you know, this whole Robert Kraft thing just came down. It's all over Twitter right now. If you hadn't heard, and I'm not going to, I know you didn't come to the show for prostitution news and stuff like that. It's not why you downloaded the Free Stretch podcast. So don't worry, I'm not doing the whole show on this. But Robert Kraft arrested down there in Palm Beach, or is going to be arrested, excuse me. I'm not sure if he actually has been or not yet, but he's been named as well as about 30 other people in a sex trafficking ring that was going on through a massage parlor. Prostitution is going to be the charge. All over Twitter, like I said, all the usual jokes are coming up right now. Deflated balls, things like that, you know, fine. But just remember, like when I just saw the headline, I was like, oh, you know, Robert Kraft, scuzzball, you know, prostitution. And that was all I thought of it. But this isn't just some quickie in a cheap motel type thing. This is women against their will. This is sex trafficking. It's not just like, hey, victimless crime, whatever. These are women who were held against their will. This is part of a network, okay? It wasn't just some isolated thing. They were forced to work with no days off. I'm, you know, reading some of the details here, which are very grim, and I won't get into a lot of the details on the show here. You can check it out for yourself. But the big story, of course, is Robert Kraft and all the subsequent jokes that come along with someone like him getting nailed for something like this. No pun intended. But the real story here is not even Robert Kraft. If Robert Kraft being famous brings this type of stuff to light, then hey, at least that's something positive. But the real story here is that stuff like this goes on, and it's easy not to think about it because it happens in the darkness. It's not something you see. It's not like even violent crime, which is all over the newspaper and you see, you know, these stories and things like that. This stuff goes under the radar, and a lot of people don't even realize that it exists. But again, these are women that were not voluntarily doing this. They were held against their will. It's just hideous details in this story. And so, not to be like condescending or paternalistic trying to lecture you guys, but let's keep our eye on the ball when it comes to a story like this. And as far as Kraft goes, and I've always thought he was kind of a scuzzball for... And not just because I don't, you know, it's not a thing with the Patriots. I have nothing against the Patriots, but it's always a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, he's 70-something years old. He's got a girlfriend who's like in her early 30s, and that's more creepy from the girl's standpoint than from his, but even from his standpoint, like, I've always thought that was not cool, personally. I mean, people say, oh, live and let live. I've always thought that was a little bit weird, and if I'm ever at that age and in a position to even do something like that, and I hope I never am, but even if I am, I hope I'm with someone more age-appropriate or something like that. But I've just never, he's always rubbed me the wrong way. So something like this doesn't surprise me, but, you know, you look at, with, what was it, Jerry Richardson, the Carolina Panthers owner, who didn't commit any actual crimes, was just a creepy owner who was creepy to women in the Carolina Panthers office, and they forced a sale of the team because of that. And, you know, it's not just players, but owners and then coaches and everybody is subject to the league's code of conduct and their policies and all that stuff. So it will be interesting to see, as far as Kraft goes here, if this ends up being something. And it's very early. He has categorically denied all of the charges and things like that. They say they have video. You know, we'll let it all play out, obviously. But looking down the road, you know, it will be interesting to see if this is something that potentially leads to a big change in the Patriots organization. And, you know, looking at the age of Tom Brady and, you know, the whole thing with all that, I mean, there's going to be a lot of changes around the Patriots in the coming years, but this one could also be another one. So, anyway, again, I know you didn't come to the free stretch for human trafficking talk or prostitution talk. I'm not going to do the whole show on it, but it is coming down this morning, and I really couldn't not say anything about it on the show. So, as far as the Buccaneers go, and it's quiet right now, it's the offseason. It's not even the busy part of the offseason. It's the part of the offseason where there's not much going on. That'll change next week because everything will be in Indianapolis with the combine. It's going to be a lot of fun. I will watch it on television. I'm not going to sit down like and make an appointment to watch it, but I'll have it on in the background while I'm doing stuff around the house. I'm a big workout guy. I'm a big physical fitness guy. So even aside from the football aspect of it, like who are we going to draft and this and that, I just like watching physical specimens do things like that. I like to see the guys do the broad jump, and I like to watch the bench press reps, and of course the 40 is always fun. Like, I'm into that stuff. I'm a 38-year-old has-been. Actually, I'm a 38-year-old never was. I was never all that great, but I didn't really get into working out until after I stopped playing sports. Like, when I was in high school and like, actually trying to be good at sports, I'd blow off time in the weight room. I'd screw around with my buddies. Like, I really wasted a lot of opportunities back then. I regret it. But then as I got older, when I no longer played organized sports, that's when I started lifting and running and things like that. And, man, I'm all into that stuff now. Like, I love it. And I'll tell you what, next week I might even try. Let me try and do this before next Thursday's show. Maybe what I can do, I can do this. I will select a few of the combine events, and I will self-test. I'll try and get somebody to test me, and I will post my actual numbers as, again, a 38-year-old weekend warrior and just see where they stack up. And I encourage, I'm going to talk to Justin. I'm going to talk to the Joes, even the Sage, Ira, if he wants to get involved. I would love to see everybody's numbers. I'll do a 225 bench press. I'll run a 40. I'll try doing a vertical is a little harder because you need the thing to do the vertical, but I can do the broad jump anywhere, and I'll do that. And I bet you I can post some respectable numbers. Not going to compare to your cornerbacks and your wideouts and stuff like that. Although, you know, on the bench, I can get about 8 to 10. On a good day, I can get 10 at 225, and my shoulder's been hurting lately from playing tennis. I got some rotator cuff on the right side issues. So I probably can't get my bench where I want it to be, but I know I can still grind out even 8 painful reps right now at 225. I can definitely run a sub-540. I know people laugh at that, but I know I can do it. But we'll test it just to be sure. And the broad jump and all that, can I get 9 feet? You know, some of these guys do 10, 11 feet, but anything over 9 is respectable. So let me see. So we'll save all that stuff for next week. But, you know, they always call it the Underwear Olympics. Hey, again, I'll watch it. I have no problem having it on. You don't have to watch it, but they're going to cover it, and they should. And I'll throw it on there. What I will not be all about, and you're not going to get a lot of... I mean, we're going to talk about the draft a ton, believe me. I mean, I'm not going to ignore the draft. But what I'm not all about is these mock drafts. And I go through this rant every... If you've been listening to my show for any amount of time, you've probably heard it already. But it's been over a year now, right? So I'll do it again. The mock drafts drive me insane. And it's not even that I disdain the idea of people doing them. I have no problem with Mel Kiper doing a mock draft or Todd McShay or any of the other... I mean, there's literally dozens of them out there right now. I have a problem with how they're packaged, and I have a problem with how they're reacted to by the fans. So, look, again, it's the offseason. You're bored. I get it. You miss football. You're looking for any type of football you can consume, and that's fine. But, like, for example, when I'm watching a game on ESPN, you know, college basketball or whatever it is on ESPN, and the little bottom line ticker on the scroll says, breaking, colon. And I'm like, whoa, breaking. Mel Kiper moves Dwayne Haskins from fourth to third in his mock draft. Like, that's they consider that breaking news. Like, that a guy who's simply speculating about what the draft will be like changed his mind about where one player will go by one pick. Now, they'll put that up there. They'll say, breaking. You know, Todd McShay now has Dwayne Haskins fourth instead of sixth in his latest mock draft. Oh, my God. And all the big bold letters, you know, the big bright, everything. Absurd. And I was looking at the Bucks, not because I actually care what anybody says in their mock draft, but just because I wanted to see how many different names I could count that have been assigned to the Buccaneers in the various mock drafts just in the last couple of weeks, okay? And this is why they're so silly. And you know what they really are? I mean, here's what they really are. They're basically masturbation. They're draft masturbation. Like, this is something that, you know, there's nothing that's going to come of it. All right, you're not producing anything, but you just want to read a mock draft, or you want to make a mock draft because you want to read one, you want to make one. And hey, listen, I get it. Again, I get it, but that's really all they are, right? Like, that's as simple as that. That's what a mock draft is. It's a complete exercise in self-gratification just for the sake of self-gratification, a release, if you will. I won't get too much more graphic in the details, but that's what mock drafts are. So looking at all the mock drafts out there, and again, there's dozens of them. Here are the names, just in the past couple of weeks, that I've seen assigned to the Buccaneers. You've got Jonah Williams, offensive tackle, Alabama. He's great, by the way. Defensive end, Montez Sweat, Mississippi State. I saw him play in Starkville when I went to see the Gators play up there this past football season. Josh Allen, another one I've seen in person, another edge rusher from Kentucky I've seen play against the Gators. Ed Oliver from Houston, defensive lineman. Josh Jacobs, a running back from Alabama. Quinnen Williams, defensive lineman from Alabama. Devin White, linebacker, LSU. Greedy Williams, cornerback, LSU. Cleveland Farrell, defensive end, Clemson. Brian Burns, defensive end, Florida State. And you've got your Gator in there too, Juwan Taylor, the offensive tackle from Florida. All of those, how many is that? I mean, if you count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 11 different names, okay? So even if one of those guys ends up being the guy, that's 10 other guys who, again, just completely gratuitously just had their names thrown out there. This is who your favorite team is going to take. And most of these guys release a mock draft every week, which is beyond moronic to me because nothing is changing. But hey, this week, yeah, Mel Kiper changed it. He had Jonah Williams. Then he changed it to Sweat. McShay still has Jonah Williams. I don't know what the hell changed. I mean, you can look at some news break, like, hey, we just, you know, realized the Bucs are probably bringing back Gerald McCoy. So, okay, maybe that changes something a little bit and some other things like that. But, you know, point is, that's 11 guys right there. Only one of them could possibly be the Bucs' first-round pick. And I would even be willing to bet it's possible that even with all these mock drafts, none of them got it right. It's some name I didn't even mention just now. That's possible, too. And, of course, there's trades down, trades up, this, that, and the other, and those things are all possible. And some people even predicted them. I think the guy that said the Bucs were taking Josh Jacobs, that's Chad Reuter of NFL.com, he said that he anticipates a trade down, which is entirely possible. And news just came down I think it was earlier today or late yesterday, Dwayne Haskins is going to throw at the combine. So that's news, because if he does well, I mean, we want his stock to be way up as Bucs fans, right? We want him to be like, this guy's, you know, another one of the good, because we need quarterback hungry teams to either take him in front of the Bucs, and that's one less guy the Bucs might want that could get taken, or two, teams that are behind the Bucs want to trade up to get him, in which case we can really go to work. And I would love to see the Bucs trade down. Like, and I've never had an issue with trading down. I don't want to see him trade out of the first round or something, but if they're able to move down just a handful of spots and pick up an extra second rounder or a, you know, an extra first rounder or something like that, abso-frickin-lutely do it. And again, as we get closer to the draft, we'll have time to speculate on those things. But here's my thing with the mock drafts. Just don't be one of those people. I mean, I click on them sometimes too. There's nothing wrong with that. I read them. Don't be one of those people who takes them that seriously. And please God, if you're like one of these hobby people that does them on your own, I would keep that on the down low, okay? Like, let's just, between you and me, like, I wouldn't make a big deal about that to anybody. And hey, look, I've done some things that, you know, other people would probably think are extremely dorky, okay? I'm not above it, but I just wouldn't. Like, I've heard people actually say, and when the draft itself actually comes in April, you'll hear this, and especially if you go on Twitter or things like that, I've heard people actually say, oh, wow, you know, Steve Johnson just taken with the 16th pick. I had him in my mock draft going 20th. What do you mean you had him in your mock draft going 20th? Who the hell are you? These other names I just listed, not that they necessarily know anything more than you do, because it's all just a random guess anyway. But at the very least, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, Chad Reuter, I got Lance Zierlein, Bucky Brooks, you know, all these different guys, names I'm quoting here. All those guys, whether they're right or whether they're wrong, they all did these mock drafts as part of their employment. It's their job. They got paid. They're trying to get Twitter clicks. That's one thing, you know, for whatever I think about it. But if you, Joe Bucs fan, hence the name of the website, sitting at home, is actually making your own mock draft, again, just, you know, I'm not trying to insult any part of my listener base. If there's people out there that do that, there's nothing wrong with following this stuff, but really, like, you're going to sit down and do a mock draft? Or there's even seven-round one. Those are my favorite. People actually try to mock seven rounds of the draft. Like, that is literally a waste of time to put together and a waste of time to read. Like, that's like me trying to sit down and basically predict what color cars, what order they're going to go by, like on Dale Mabry Highway or something. Just, okay, red, yellow, blue, green, white, silver. Just completely random, just completely just BS, made up. And yet people consume the hell, I guess that's the point, people consume the hell out of this stuff. So, again, no problem with the mock draft's existence, no problem with you even wanting to read them, but let's just keep it to that. And we don't have to act like, just don't treat them like they're news, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, don't treat them like anything happened. Don't come up to me if you're one of my buddies and say, hey, just see where so-and-so has the Bucs to. I don't care who so-and-so has who the Bucs to. I don't care about any of that. Last year, Denzel Ward. I think Denzel Ward was mocked. That's another one I hate when people use the word mock as a verb. He was mocked for the Buck. But Denzel Ward was the popular choice, like, by a bunch of different, like, they almost all had Denzel Ward of the Bucks. That was the one pick du jour. And then, of course, it was somebody else. And, you know, I remember when I used to work in the radio at 620. And you know, there's stuff behind the scenes that you don't hear as a listener, but we had obviously extensive draft coverage and all that stuff. And then during the Sunday, they'd air the draft live on the station. And when the Bucs picked, they had like five or six names ready that our voiceover guy, you know how you hear the voice guy on the radio who always does like, coming up next, it's so-and-so. You know, the guy, whatever, it was, every station's got one. And you, if you listen to a station, you get used to that guy's voice. And he'll be like, it's the so-and-so show here on blank blankety AM, you know, 2090. We had that guy do like six different names. I think this was the year we drafted Mark Barron. And I can't remember what the name is. It's like, okay, let's do one for so-and-so from Alabama. Okay, let's do another one for so-and-so from Washington. Let's do another one for so-and-so from Ohio State. And we had all these ones queued up, and then the guy the Bucs drafted wasn't even one of the, like, seven names that we had prepared for. And on my Monday show, when I came in, or whatever, I think it was Sunday, the next day, after the first round, back when they did the first round on Saturday. I came in and I played all of the ones that we had prepared. I said, hey, folks, here's what we had prepared just in case. And it was none of these guys. And they actually got mad at me for playing them on the air. They were like, oh, that makes us sound like we don't have any credibility. You know what? Stop pretending anybody has any credibility. Nobody knows what the hell's going to go on with any of this. And I think the people who have it right are the people who understand, hey, we don't know. One thing you're going to get on the free stretch, okay, if you listen to this show, and I appreciate you listening to it, sometimes I think I know something. Sometimes, most of the time, I probably don't. I'm never going to pretend I know something or try to sound like I know something when I'm just guessing, okay? Like, if I had some source inside the Bucks that said, hey, man, they're really looking hard at so-and-so, I'd tell you that. Like, that'd be a legitimate thing without giving the name away or of the source. But just saying, oh, hey, here's what we got. This is where the Bucks are looking right now. I've watched film on the All-22. You know, everybody can watch film on the All-22 now, which is great. I mean, people that do that, that's a valuable service a lot of members in the media provide to people to sit down and do that. But my point is, you know, we don't need to pretend that we all have the whole thing clocked. Nobody knows. The Bucks probably barely even know. These things change. I mean, you get offers that you don't know what you're going to get. So maybe they're playing to pick at five and then they don't. And maybe they're playing to trade down, but then they pick at five if they don't get an offer they like. And it's all so fluid. So as the draft gets closer, you know, we'll talk about all these players for sure. We're not going to not cover the draft, but stop it with the mock drafts already. And if you don't get paid to do it and you're not one of these people that actually works for a website or something like that, but you don't need to be making a mock draft. Like, you could probably, there's probably something you could do that's a better use of your time than that. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is my email address. On Twitter, you can reach me at BobbyGameDay. The free stretch brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Wanted to talk for a minute about just the moves the Bucks have made so far, which are not many. And you know, anybody that's wondering, hey, why haven't they done more yet? They don't have to do anything yet. I mean, you know, like I said last year, I gave you the dates of when they release certain players. Like, Vinny Curry's the only one they've done so far now. And most of the dates I gave were in the late 20s of February, which we still haven't hit yet, or even early March. Now, the league year, as they say, the new league year, starts March 13th at 4 p.m. That's an important day and time. Like, that's when things start to matter. On March 13th at 4 p.m., by then you have to have exercised your option on any people that have options in their contracts for the coming year. You have to have made offers to any restricted free agents whose contracts expired in 2018 but could be retained by you in 2019. And of course, most importantly, you have to be under the cap by 4 p.m. on March 13th. So that's still 3 weeks away. And in the ensuing 3 weeks, things will happen. And of course, the combine will shed some light. And this is another thing about the combine besides just what's going on the field. Everybody's there, so all the GMs are there, all the coaches are there. You know, a lot of stuff happens at the combine. People talk. There will be things that come out of the combine, again, much more probably of consequence than just did so-and-so run a 4.65 or a 4.55. You know, that stuff is probably overrated. But there will be things coming out of it. Now, the Bucks did sign running back Andre Ellington. And of course, with the dearth of moves so far by the Bucks, any little move is going to go under the microscope. So everybody's like, oh, Andre Ellington. You know, some people were positive about it. Some people were negative about it. But everybody was like, oh. And, you know, Andre Ellington, okay. And they need depth at running back. He's going to join Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones. And that's not necessarily means that they're not going to do anything else. So don't think this is what they've decided to do at running back. But he's a guy who, again, played for Arians. Didn't play last year, but had some success in the years before that. His best year was his rookie year in 2013. Had a pretty good season then. But he's, you know, he's an option out of the backfield. And again, I said this last week, the Bucs coaching staff is really excited about what they think Ronald Jones can be. They think that once they get their hands on him, things are going to be different. So again, I'm not saying that means they're not going to do something else at running back. They still absolutely could. But it sounds to me, from everything I've read and heard, like Ronald Jones is a big part of their plans, even though he didn't meet expectations last year. And of course, you know, that's putting it mildly. He severely under-exceeded expectations last year. But just prepare yourselves for that. Like, hey, we're not getting Le'Veon Bell, so forget about that. I mean, I still hear a little bit of talking about that. First of all, he's creeping up in age. Second of all, with where the Bucks are financially, it doesn't make sense. Third of all, as a running back, I mean, I just read you those three names, Barber, Jones, Ellington. There could be another one they end up getting. And I'll tell you what, any one of them could end up being just an absolute stud next year. I think the offensive line improving is just as important as what any of those three guys brings to the table. And I'm not trying to be cavalier about running backs, because it's not that I don't think they're important. It's like I always say, though, it's just that the good ones, I guess the best way to put it is they're high variance. You can get a stud in round one, you can get a bust in round one, you can get a stud unsigned free agent, you can get a bust unsigned free agent. It's not like a quarterback. You can't get an unsigned free agent quarterback and he ends up being, you know, that's not usually how it works these days. But with a guy like a running back, you're just as likely to find one on the street as you are when you actually go looking for one. And you certainly don't have to break the bank for a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who is good, by the way. I mean, it's not that I wouldn't want him. It's just that I would him for what it would be probably required to take. And that's the important thing to remember about free agency in general right now, is that, you know, whoever your team does or doesn't sign, it doesn't necessarily mean they wanted or didn't want him. I mean, if they sign him, it means they wanted him. But if they don't sign him, it just might mean that they wanted him, but just not at that price. You know, you don't know how much goes in. None of us do. How much goes into, you know, they might not sign a guy and you think, what, they didn't even try to get this guy? And they might have done hours and hours and hours of looking at some guy, and then somebody else offered more money, and that was it. I mean, Adam Humphries may end up being that way. I guarantee you the Bucks want Adam Humphries back. I mean, of course, I want him back. But do they want him back at $9 million or $7 million? I'm just making these numbers up. I don't know what he'll sign for, but you know, that's my point. They might want him back, but they're not going to go more than $6 million or $7 million. Then he gets $12 million from somebody or something. Okay, well, they got him. You know, that's just how it works. And it's just, you got to roll with it. So we'll see what happens with all that. Of more interesting note, though, I thought at least, and like I said, before I get to Jameis, Gerald McCoy, $13 million, looks like he's going to be right back in there. Bruce Arians, Todd Bowles, they believe he will be a good fit in the 3-4. And remember, the Bucks, you know, I heard Justin say this on his podcast. He was absolutely right. I mean, it's called the Tampa 2, right? Like, if you grew up in these parts or if you've been a Bucks fan in these parts for a long time, you think of the defense as a 4-3, you know, with two DNs, two defensive tackles, and then your three linebackers, you know, one weak side outside, one strong side outside, and the middle linebacker, all that. You know, it's going to be different this year. The Bucks are going to run more of a 3-4 type, although they'll run all kinds of stuff. And even when they're in a 3-4, like for Gerald McCoy, who's used to being a guy in the middle there, and you say, well, what if he has to move to defensive end since there's only three? You know, he'll still probably be kind of in the middle when there's a stand-up, you know, outside linebacker right on the line next to him. That's essentially him playing defensive tackle again. So call it whatever you want. But the point is, Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles both believe he'll be a good fit in the 3-4, and Rick Stroud reported this today, and it looks like he's going to be back, and not just back, but looks like he'll be back at his normal salary of $13 million a year. So, you know, there's that. There's DeSean Jackson. We haven't seen what could happen there, but there's trades to be made and things like that, and all kinds of things that could change. Some interesting news here. It's not news. I mean, we kind of could tell this, but Jameis Winston, and then the headline on ProFootballTalk.com, Jameis Winston suggests that he tuned out coaching last year. It says that, I'm not going to read the whole article, but I'll read some snippets here. Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians thinks that fixing quarterback Jameis Winston will be easy. It may not be as easy as Arians believes it will be. So first of all, it's a garbage opening line from Florio of Pro Football Talk. Trying to make it sound like Jameis is a problem or something, that he's not going to listen to Arians, which is total bull bleep, in my opinion. But that's the way Florio is sometimes. He says, Winston will have to buy into coaching, and it sounds like at one point last year he rebelled. Now here's quotes from Jameis now, without any freaking spin on them. Quote, I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, Jameis, what do you have to do? And this is, by the way, the reason I'm quoting the PFT article is because the PFT article quotes an article on, wait for it, JoeBucksFan.com. It says via JoeBucksFan.com when he talked to Joe during Super Bowl week. That was simply, quote, get back to playing Jameis Winston football, be yourself, have that swag. Don't try to be something that a coach is trying to get you to be. You know, you got to go and be you. This is one of the first times I'd had this in 4 years, really, Winston said in response to how it feels to know that Arians has his back and trusts him. First time I've had that in 4 years. He goes on to say, you know, I'm really blessed to be with Arians and his coaches and what he's going to have with us. So, of course, Florio spins this as malcontent Jameis Winston doesn't listen to his coaches. Bruce Arians better be ready. The opposite is true. I mean, what he is saying is it could not be further from the truth. Jameis Winston didn't get the coaching he needed from the previous staff, okay? And felt like basically he had to self-coach. And when he came back after his benching, which was garbage from day one, he should never have been benched. I don't care how bad that Cincinnati game was, and I said it then. And the reason was because Dirk Cutter was just desperate and trying to do anything he could think of to stick around, even though it was never going to happen. But after he came back from that benching, he did a lot better. And I think knowing that it was kind of the end with Dirk Cutter and knowing that, okay, it's time to move on, and Jameis Winston not feeling the pressure to listen to Dirk Cutter as much, I think helped a lot. And that is me speculating. I'm not saying that part is me speculating, okay? I'm not trying to say that's fact. But when I see these quotes from Jameis that you could get first where? Again, say it with me, joebucksfan.com, back during Super Bowl week. When I read those quotes for the first time off our site, that was my thought, and Joe had similar sentiments. I mean, I think the coaching let Jameis down a lot. I think they tried to get him to do things. First of all, the offensive line let him down a lot. Before we go any further, that's not the coaching's fault. But second of all, I mean, this is another reason why I'm so excited about the 2019 Buccaneers. And I'm excited about the Bucs every year. I get it. I know you're thinking, oh, well, Bobby, we're all excited all the time. But no, I really do think, like, Jameis Winston is ready to make a big step forward. And I think, and I did whole shows on this multiple times last season, the people that wanted to sell him out and move on and things like that are absolutely crazy. And I think we're sitting on a powder keg here. I mean, I think we got a chance. And I don't mean that the Bucs are going to go win the NFC or something next year now. But I think that there is untapped potential here on top of the potential that we already knew Winston had. And I think that he's crying out for it. I think he's craving the type of leadership that he didn't get under the previous staff. And I'm excited to see what kind of quarterback he can be now that I think he will get it under Bruce Arians and company. And again, he's still so young. He's 25. You know, he feels like an old veteran because he's been out there for 4 years now. But, I mean, a lot of guys, when they're 25, especially if you go back a few years, were just getting going. You know, this is his fifth year, so it feels like, oh, it's getting late in his career now. He needs to there's a lot of time here, guys. And now he's going to be getting the coaching he needs. So I'm very excited about that. And I like Pro Football Talk as a whole. It's a good source for news. And I don't mean to like say I dislike Florio because I don't dislike him. But I think he's a little disingenuous sometimes. And I think to frame that article as Jameis is a rebel, Jameis is a bad guy who's not going to listen to his coach, Bruce Arians is in for a rude awakening dealing with this guy. You know, I'm tired of the whole black hat routine. Especially when Baker Mayfield told Hugh Jackson basically to shove it. And he's the coolest cat in the world for doing that. Oh, yeah, I love his brashness. I love his leadership. You know, that's how it gets framed when it's Baker Mayfield. When it's Jameis Winston, it's, oh, problem guy. Isn't going to listen to his coach. And I think he gave Dirk Cutter ample opportunity. I think Dirk Cutter and company misused him. And again, there was lots of problems, and that's why a coaching change had to be made. So here we are now. And it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to the Combine. Again, that's next week, so let's do this. If you have any requests for things that you'd like to see me attempt, Combine-related, I can try and film myself doing a 40-yard dash. I can try and film myself doing the bench press, broad jump, all that stuff. It'll all be completely on the up and up. I'm not going to fudge anything. And you know, we'll try and post some numbers just for comparison's sake next week. It's always fun for me to look at the list of heights and weights, look at the list of bench press reps and 40 times and all the different ways you can sort it by position and all that stuff. So we'll do all that next week and plenty more. Of course, free agency and all those types of things are going to be getting going too. It's an exciting point we're at right now. I mean, again, it's the off season. We got a lot going on. I'm not one of these people that's just completely football centric. I'm enjoying the hockey season. I'm excited for baseball starting and all those things. Golf, there's going to be, you know, the Masters coming up in April and things like that, the Players' Championship in March. I love all that stuff, okay? But football's football. It's never far away. I've been watching the AAF and all that, and I'll continue to do that. And of course, we're going to be on top of all these things because there is, as always, nothing like football. But in the meantime, I want to thank all of you for listening today. I appreciate it. As always, thanks to the Joes for having me on this website and the chance to get in front of all of your eyeballs or earbuds or whatever it is you want to call it and get in front of an audience like this. The single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, joebucksfan.com. You already know that because you're here. And thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Hey, again, tonight, if you're listening to this before 7 p.m. on Friday, I'm recording this on Friday midday here, but tonight, 7 p.m. at Bill Curry Ford, 5815 Northdale Mabry Highway. It's the classic Ford car show. They're going to have classic Mustangs. They're going to have a restored 1970 Boss 429 reveal and all that stuff. Go check it out. And again, a lot of options over there. The 2018s are getting blown out. Check things out at the lot or go ahead and go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the pre-combine mid-February edition of the Free Stretch. We'll be back next week on Thursday or maybe Friday if I get busy again. But either way, until then, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.